101.9 FM, Gloria Gaynor, and I am what I am. That is the theme song to Queer FM for the queer community. Good evening. I am Heather. And coming up on the program tonight, first of all, we are going to be joined by Luke Gahan and Matthew Culleton. They are two queer activists from Australia who moved to Vancouver, got married, and are now fighting the Australian government for the right to have their marriage recognized at home. Then we are going to be talking to Douglas Victor Janoff, who you might remember, actually, if you've lived in the city for a while. He also was a Vancouver resident in the 90s and one of the early regional board representatives for AGAL. His specialty is studying violence against the LGBT community, and at long last he has released his book on the subject. It's called Pink Blood. He's going to be in town in about a week to launch it, and he's going to tell us about it tonight. And this being the first of a new month, of course, it's time for the audiophile segment. That's when we roll out the best new independent queer musical releases of the previous month, in this case September, and that comes to us courtesy of our friends at This Way Out, the syndicated LGBT radio magazine in Los Angeles. There is, of course, lots of queer news to report as well, and lots of great music, too. If you want to give us a call, the number is 604-822-2487. You can also join us by instant messenger on the internet. Just go to www.gaycanada.com and look for Queer FM on the Q Messenger. And speaking of good music, here is Kanan, and if Rap gets jealous, from his debut CD, The Dusty Foot Philosopher, and I will warn you that although entirely appropriate in context, this song contains many incidents of the F word. If that offends you, you should turn off your radio for about 4 minutes and 18 seconds.
Pop, that's four cousins shy. I got grudges, let's discuss it. My music needs no touch-ups. I got a long record of fuck-ups, trust me. You don't know a past as weird as mine, or a life as hard as mine. I had to hustle, chop, sell drugs, grind. Whatever you wanna call it is fine, but just listen. And don't prejudge. I don't want anyone dismissing me as another thug or some shit like that. No, sir, if I fall, I will get right back. I got circumstances, but let me stop dancing around the issue and tell you straight forth, I'm poor. A refugee, been in prison and survived the war. I come from the most dangerous city in this universe. You're likely to get shot at birth. So how can rap quench my thirst? I don't even hear verses no more. I hear jerking out punks with lip glosses and purses. I don't see nobody operating shit anymore. I see nurses. Fuck that, I'm gonna stay alive. I'd rather do a dead job.
Rap is telling, cause I'm rock heavy. And don't worry, these motherfuckers don't get it. Joey rap is telling, cause I'm where I'm headed. I used to be public enemy, don't forget it. And if rap is telling, cause I'm rock heavy. And don't worry, these motherfuckers don't get it. Joey rap is telling, cause I'm where I'm headed. Aggression, affection, with pain, live again.
Yeah, basically I gotta release occasionally. I gotta let you know what's going on with me. And facing me are some tough choices. I got a good side and bad side inside my head. I hear screams, not voices. And I can't lie, I ain't got shit. I ain't got to brag, I'm hard pressed for some cash to send to my ill dad. You're so superficial. Of course, it's for shizzle that my choice is to piss on you boys. Cause my mission is the world. To know my name, my aim, it's plainly success. But I still gotta come fresh, so I can rap, quench my thirst. I don't even hear verses no more. I hear jerking out punks with lip glosses and purses. I don't see nobody operating shit anymore. I see nurses. Fuck that, I'm gonna stay alive. I'd rather do a stage job.
Yeah, rap is jealous, cause I'm rock heavy. And don't worry, these motherfuckers don't get it. Joey rap is jealous, cause I'm where I'm headed. I used to be public enemy, don't forget it. And if rap is jealous, cause I'm rock heavy. And don't worry, these motherfuckers don't get it. Joey rap is jealous, cause I'm where I'm headed. Aggression, affection, with pain, live again.
That's what it is, it's pain, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, man, it's like you spend years developing your artistry, man. You know what I'm saying? Perfecting your skill, man. You can't can't do shit with it. That's gotta be fucked up, you know what I'm saying? That's gotta be fucked up. Just imagine, like, imagine you build a fucking castle and you can't live it. That's what it is. You can't live it, you know? And you got problems, you got family. I got family. Moment of truth, right? And I still gotta confess. So I could rap quench my thirst. I don't even hear verses no more. I hear jerking off punks with lip glosses and purses. I don't see nobody operation anymore. I see nurses. Fuck that. I'm gonna stay alive. I'd rather do a dead job.
And rap is die. And don't worry, these motherfuckers don't get it. So it's rap, it's killing. First up, we're admitted. I used to be public enemy, don't forget it. And if rap gets jealous, cause I rock heavy. And don't worry, these motherfuckers don't get it. So it's rap, gets jealous. First up, we're admitted. Aggression, affection, with pain, live again. And if rap gets jealous, cause I rock heavy. And don't worry, these motherfuckers don't get it. So it's rap, gets jealous. First up, we're admitted. I used to be public enemy.
It don't worry me, motherfuckers don't get it. Yo, if rap gets jealous, cause of where I'm headed. Aggression, obsession with pain, live again.
That is Kanan, and if rap gets jealous on CITR 101.9 FM, you can find that on his debut CD, The Dusty Foot Philosopher. Okay, if you're offended by swear words, you can now turn the radio back on. I don't think there'll be any more tonight. Oh, this is Queer FM. I am Heather, and if you want to give us a call, the number is 604-822-2487. Shortly on the program, we're going to be talking to Luke Gahan, who is one half of the couple of Australian activists who moved out to BC for a year, got married, and are now fighting the Australian government for the right to be recognized back at home. Then we're going to talk to Douglas Victor Janoff, who you might remember, because he used to live here in Vancouver. He is an author, journalist, and activist, and he has released his long-awaited book, Pink Blood, which looks at the history of homophobic violence in Canada. And finally, this being the first of the month, we will be checking out the best new musical releases from queer independent artists, courtesy of the Audiophile segment on This Way Out. That's the syndicated queer radio magazine out of Los Angeles. There is also lots of queer news to report and some exciting news from our own country. New Brunswick's Alison Brewer has become the first out lesbian in North America to lead a political party. Brewer won a first ballot victory to become the leader of the New Democratic Party in New Brunswick. If her party wins the next provincial election, she would become the first out premier in Canada. Calling it a historic day for the lesbian and gay community, she said she intends to lead her party to a majority government. Brewer added she wants Bernard Lord and Sean Graham to know that she is on her way. Lord is the leader of New Brunswick's Conservative Party and the sitting premier. Graham is the Liberal leader. Both are ahead of the New Democrats in the polls. A former journalist, Brewer has been a queer activist both provincially and nationally, and is former executive director of a Fredericton abortion clinic. She recently spent 4 years in Canada's far north, serving as a senior advisor to the government of Nunavut. To many people in New Brunswick, she is best known for her battle with Fredericton Mayor Brad Woodside, who refused to proclaim Gay Pride Week. She took the matter to the New Brunswick Human Rights Commission, which ordered Mr. Woodside to proclaim Gay Pride Week in 1998. Brewer appeared on Queer FM in 1995 as a gals spokesperson for the Fourth World Conference on Women in Beijing. A lesbian social worker has been awarded more than $19,000 in damages after a hospital refused to give her in vitro fertilization when she showed up at the clinic without a man. The Quebec Human Rights Commission recently agreed with Helene Zylberzak, age 35, that she had been a victim of sexual discrimination. The ruling obliges the McGill University Health Center and two fertility experts to pay Zylberzak $9,005 in physical damages and $10,000 in moral damages. The hospital must also stop denying reproductive services based on sexuality. One of the doctors named in the case admitted the hospital, the Royal Victoria, once had a policy of denying lesbians fertilization services. The policy was abandoned when the federal government passed a law prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation. The ruling comes 4 years after Zelberzak first filed her complaint. She has since adopted a child. Prime Minister Paul Martin and Spanish Prime Minister José Luis Rodríguez and about a dozen American politicians who support gay marriage could be refused the sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church under a proposal being considered by the Vatican. Catholic bishops meeting in Vatican City at the first synod led by newly appointed Pope Benedict XVI are expected to consider refusing communion to politicians who pass laws that violate church doctrine. Martin called the proposal unfortunate. He told a press conference, quote, I am a practicing Catholic. In fact, I am a strong Catholic. But I'm also a legislator, and I believe in the separation of church and state. Martin said his responsibility as prime minister was to uphold Canadians' rights as defined by the courts and to take the widest possible perspective into account. The ban on the sacraments is supported by bishops from Spain and Canada, and a number from the U.S. The proposal reportedly has the endorsement of Pope Benedict. And Ontario's health minister says American gays and lesbians in the medical field should consider moving to Canada. George Smitherman touted the province to delegates at the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association's annual conference in Montreal. Most of those attending the convention were American, and in a keynote address, the openly gay cabinet minister said that doctors dissatisfied with life in the U.S. should think about a move, especially if they want to marry. Smitherman said, quote, many of you work in the States where progress of this type is measured in baby steps at best, and sometimes not at all. And some of you live and work in states where the fight is actually not to lose ground. Smitherman joked that in Canada, the only barrier that exists to his getting married lies in his convincing someone to marry him, and he felt it would be unreasonable to look for the government's help on that one. The Ontario Medical Association recently said that the province is short some 2,000 qualified doctors. While doctors' salaries are controlled by the province, Smitherman said that medical practice costs are considerably lower than in the U.S., making incomes of Canadian doctors similar to those of Americans. Following the speech, a number of doctors and nurses approached Smitherman to inquire about immigration law and practice requirements.
Simple reason. then you lost a simple dream. You've been higher than a kite now. You've been as low can go. And you've been lying to the doctor. Everybody knows all of us have moments.
You know what,
and we know what we have done. All of us recognize when we have no. You've been messing with a minor, and messing with your mind. You're gonna have to face your maker, and you will have to pray sometime. And all of us have moments. Yes, we do.
Is Penny Lang on CITR 101.9 FM, hiding and denying. If you like what you hear, you can see Penny Lang live. Penny Live Lang. You know what I mean. October 16th at the Railway Club. It's going to be a fabulous show. Penny, actually, she's spent her entire lifetime in Montreal. She's a legend of the Canadian folk music scene and the women's music scene. And she's just moved to British Columbia. She's settled in Roberts Creek last month, so it's kind of a joy to have her in this province, and you get to see her very first performance as a British Columbia citizen on the 16th at the Railway. It's a Girl Gigs production, so go check it out. This is Queer FM on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Hey there, I'm Heather. And if you want to get in touch with us, there's a couple ways to do it. You can phone us at 604-822-2487. And you can also communicate with us via instant messenger on the internet. If you go to www.gaycanada.com and look for Queer FM on the Q Messenger, we can have this little email chat going on while I'm doing the show. And if you want to get a hold of us in non-show hours, just to hang out till the end of the show, and I'll give you our address and email address and all of that stuff. But for now, if you want to talk to us, just give us a call. Coming up on the program, we're going to be talking to Douglas Victor Janoff, who you may remember as Victor Janoff. That's what he was going by when he was living in Vancouver about a decade ago. A longtime queer activist, also a journalist and writer, and he has finally put out his long-awaited book on homophobic violence in Canada. It's called Queer Blood, and he's going to be launching it in about a week in this town, and he'll be on the show shortly to tell us about it. After Desperate Housewives is over, I had to promise him that I would not phone him before 7 o'clock. Because, you know, Doug's TV watching is very important. And also, it's the beginning of the month, and that means that later on the show we'll be checking out the best queer independent musical releases of the previous month, in this case September, courtesy of This Way Out's Audiophile segment and J.D. Doyle. But first, so, you know, it's kind of funny, ever since same-sex marriage became legal here in Canada, right across the country, you know, it's kind of like, I think at times we think, well, now what do we do? What can we do? And I guess one of the things we can do is help other people win their battles, and I guess that's what we're talking about now. Luke Gaughan and Matthew Culleton are two Australian guys who have moved here to Vancouver for a period of time, got married, and are fighting to be recognized in their home country, and one half of that fine couple is joining us on the show tonight, Luke Gaughan. Welcome to the show, Luke.
G'day. Welcome.
How are you? Oh, you said g'day, too. That was a beautiful Australian stereotype moment.
It is. I thought I'd do that for you.
Thank you. Thank you for indulging our silly stereotypes. Well, I'll say A for you later in the program.
Wonderful.
I promise.
I'm picking that one up, too.
So, now, as I understand it, you and Matthew were activists back in Australia as well, is that right?
Certainly. I started a group in Australia called Australian Marriage Equality, and that was to fight for same-sex marriage in Australia.
And what? How far did you get with that before you left Australia?
Well, we started the group early last year, and unfortunately on August 13 last year, our federal government passed a marriage ban that outlawed same-sex marriage and any recognition of overseas marriages, including the Canadian ones at the time. So we kind of hit a brick wall very quickly, and we started then looking at the possibility of having same-sex marriage at a state level, which, unlike Canada, we never have had marriages since probably about the early 1950s. It all became federal, so we haven't had state-based marriages. And it looks like due to a constitutional glitch, we might be able to get same-sex marriage at a state level. So there are bills before the Tasmanian Parliament, but it's unlikely that those will get passed anytime soon.
And what is the situation federally? I mean, is it kind of like a constitutional ban that's really hard to overthrow, or is the ban that your government has instituted, is that something you can challenge in the courts?
Unfortunately, we looked at court challenges, and they're all we were all told that unfortunately there would be no way we could go through the courts because we don't have a Bill of Rights or Charter of Freedoms to actually fall back on. So the actual legislative, they didn't pass a constitutional change, it was just a legislative change where they inserted into the Marriage Act the words man and woman and specifically mentioned a ban on recognition of overseas same-sex marriages. So basically what all we have to do is get a government that's prepared to remove those amendments from the law, and then the marriages will become legal.
Mm-hmm. So you're basically, it's got to be a legislative change that you've got to wait until will is there.
Yeah, a lot of couples have come back from Canada, and we're starting to try and actually challenge it through the family court in Australia. And so the government reacted by quickly passing a ban before the court cases could actually be heard. But it's believed that, like what's happened across Canada, that the courts were going to rule in favour of same-sex marriage, so the government quickly cut it off before it started to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, so before I get into your story and why you decided to come here and all that, can you maybe just give us a little bit of background on what the political climate is like in Australia? I mean, how is it as bad as the States, where, you know, the population seems incredibly mobilized in some states to want to stop same-sex marriage, or is it just that you have a kind of backwards government and the populace is somewhat more liberal and you might be able to throw them out and turn things around? Like, what's it like there?
Yeah, Australia is a very strange place, to say the least. We've had the same government now for 10 years, coming up to 10 years, and it's a conservative federal government. But every single state and territory now has, for the first time, a Labor government, which is our left-wing government. So it's a bit topsy-turvy. But the situation is that both the two major parties have not committed to same-sex marriage or any federal same-sex relationship recognition. So yeah, it's a bit of a strange situation. We've never had a religious right like in the US. However, in the last 12 months, a new Christian lobby has been formed, and a Christian political party which managed to get one senator elected in Australia, who's already started campaigning to change abortion laws and calls same-sex marriage ban his number one success.
So how, before I ask you how you guys decided to come here, how long have you and Matthew been together, and what made you decide that you wanted to get married?
Well, we've been together for 5 years, and we'd joked about marriage, but it was never really a reality. So we never sort of, just put it back of our minds, and I'd been campaigning for age of consent law changes in New South Wales for some time, but the whole marriage issue had sort of not really entered anyone's consciousness, and Matt and I were travelling about 12 months ago, or even a little bit longer than 12 months ago, and we came over to both Canada and the US and met people that had been married, and suddenly it hit us that this is such a fantastic opportunity. So we went home and began planning straight away to come back to get married, and also that's how we started Australian Marriage Equality and brought the issue to Australia.
Wow. So when did you make the decision that you were going to come to Canada, and what was involved in getting yourselves here?
Well, we basically, when we returned from North America in last year, we decided that we'd start planning it, and we basically, there was an immense lot of saving went behind it, because we wanted to have a big wedding with our family and friends. So we started inviting people, and we found out when the we were actually in the middle of sending out invitations when the marriage ban got passed in Australia, and then about less than a month later, the government was re-elected. And when that happened, a lot of our hopes were lost that the marriage ban was going to be annulled. And so we actually we looked into getting working visas in Canada, and so we decided to get the working holiday program. We've come here for 12 months.
Wow. And so when did you get here, and when did you get married? And
yeah, we got here in August, and we got married on September the 2nd, so it's 1 month today.
No, happy anniversary.
Thank you. We actually went for an anniversary picnic today, the two of us, in Stanley Park, but it was very rainy.
I was going to say,
so we held our umbrellas up and ate sandwiches.
Oh, that's sweet. Now, did you end up bringing some of your family out here for your wedding?
We did. My grandma was really disappointed she couldn't come along. She's in her 80s, but unfortunately she couldn't get any travel insurance because she's so elderly and frail. But my both our parents came along, and one of my cousins from Hong Kong came as well. So it was very exciting. We had lots of friends from North America as well come along to the wedding. So it was a pretty big wedding in the end. And my parents' Baptist minister from Australia even came along, which was wonderful.
Wow. So now what do you do?
It's a good question. We're the campaign for same-sex marriage in Australia is continuing. I think one of the, probably our greatest hope would be to campaign at a state level where the government's a little bit more understanding, and we already have state, the state governments already recognise our relationships as de facto relationships, which is sort of like common law marriages, but they don't recognise, they won't allow marriages to occur. So I think that's our best way of lobbying, but as a country, I think Australia needs to have a real think about where it wants to go in the future, and I think it'd be a brilliant message that Canadians should actually get active and start contacting, you know, even the Australian High Commission or the Australian Tourist Bureau here in Canada and say, look, we're not coming to Australia now for a holiday, or, you know, we're not going to watch the Commonwealth Games next year in Melbourne because you're outlawing our marriages, and tell them how you feel about that. And even get your heterosexual married friends to write and say, look, it's not fair that you're recognising some of us in Canada as married and others that aren't, as even as tourists in the country.
Mm-hmm. So is this what's involved in getting marriage even at a state level in Australia? Like, you guys don't even have the ability to file a court case on at a state level to have your marriage recognized?
No, not at all, because the federal government overrules, under the Constitution, they can overrule it. But we have been told that the recent civil unions legislation passed in New Zealand should recognise Canadian marriages, but it hasn't been clarified as yet. But that's a hope for us as well.
Mm-hmm. And what about how has your marriage in Canada been playing in the media in Australia? Like, did you guys make a concerted effort to publicize what you were doing over there to try and
Yeah, we certainly did, and we got a lot of surprise. A lot of people didn't even know that the ban had been passed, which was really sad. I mean, as a community, we tried to make it very vocal that the marriage ban had got passed, but the media just didn't pick up on the issue. But when couples like Matt and I started sending out press releases, it personalised the issue, and I think the media actually picked up on it then. And as we were leaving, they put an article in one of the main papers in Sydney explaining that why we were leaving the country and how sad that was. And so the media has sort of jumped onto our side. All we need now is the government to change.
Mm-hmm. And what about other couples? Like, surely you're not the only Australians who have come out here. Have there been others, and has there been press coverage of them as well?
Yeah, certainly not. Yeah, there's been quite a lot of couples coming over here and getting married. In fact, I keep meeting some that are actually staying here to live. So there's quite a few that are doing that. And from what I see, there's even more that are coming. I get emails from people every day from Australia saying they're coming over here to get married. So it is growing. There's been a lot of issues with couples who have married actual Canadians. And the Canadians then can't live in Australia under our immigration laws. So the Australian then immigrates to Canada.
Hmm. Wow. So what are you guys doing for the next 11 months? You got married, you got 11 more months.
Yeah, we basically decided to work and give back, sort of give something a little bit back to Canada, who gave us the opportunity to get married as well. So, and we're really grateful for that, and we're really enjoying our time here.
Oh, good. And on a lighter note, you guys are both working at Urban Fair, right?
We certainly are, yeah.
The funky grocery market down by the Roundhouse Community Center.
It is.
So if people want to go down to Urban Fair and visit you, what do you look like?
We look nice, that's it. I don't know, how do you describe yourself?
Well, I don't know, like, how tall are you, what color is your hair, do you wear, you know, all that stuff.
Well, I wear a daggy little cap. Matt doesn't. Matt's on register and I'm in the deli, so you can't miss us.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome to Canada, you guys.
Thank you very much. We're really enjoying it.
Thanks for being on the show, and next time I'm shopping down there, I'll look for you.
Excellent.
Have a super evening.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Look for the colors and solace in the sky. My head with delight.
That is Pamela Means on CITR 101.9 FM and yours from her CD Single Bullet Theory. This is Queer FM. I am Heather. Coming up on the program, we're going to be talking to Douglas Victor Janoff, activist, journalist, and author of a brand new book called Pink Blood, which is all about homophobic violence in Canada. He's going to be out here launching it in about 10 days or so. And of course, Douglas, you may remember if you were involved in activism about 10 years ago, used to go by Victor Janoff and was actually one of BC's first reps on the board of AGAL. So he's a local hero, among other things. Also coming up, we're going to be checking out the hottest new independent queer musical releases of September, because, you know, it's the first of a new month and it's time to do that, courtesy of our friends at This Way Out and their audio file segment. But first, there is a couple of other queer news items that I wanted to let you know about. And first of all, an ex-gay facility that was ordered to get a mental health license or shut down is suing the state of Tennessee, claiming it doesn't need one because it's faith-based. The Love in Action organization came to national attention earlier this year when a teenager complained that he was being sent to the facility by his parents in an attempt to turn him straight. Following a complaint, the Tennessee Department of Children's Services investigated Love in Action but found the complaint to be unsubstantiated. Then the State Department of Mental Health began its own investigation, and following the probe, the department said the group needs a license for the services it claims to provide and gave it until September 23rd to comply. That was later extended until October 1st. Friday, the organization struck back, filing a federal lawsuit against the state. Love in Action attorney Nate Kellum said the government has no right to regulate Love in Action. He said the organization and its religious ministry has absolutely nothing to do with mental health services whatsoever. Tennessee State spokesperson Lola Potter said the department will show the organization's programs are involved in mental health. Potter said the lawsuit is unfortunate and unnecessary, and that this issue has nothing to do with religious issues or faith-based organizations or even the mission of Love in Action. And when Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson issued an executive order granting health benefits to the Partners of Gay and Lesbian City Workers last month, He knew there would be opposition, but even Anderson is surprised at the extent. Thursday, a Christian law firm that is involved in anti-gay suits across the country filed suit against Anderson in a Salt Lake court, alleging he flagrantly violated Utah's constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. The Alliance Defense Fund asked the court to declare Anderson's order illegal and bar the city providing any manner of any benefits to same-sex couples. The organization is already involved in another suit in Utah, in which a woman is trying to prevent her former partner from having visitation rights to their child. It's also been involved in anti-gay suits in a half a dozen other states. The ADA suit against Anderson says he is attempting to create a, quote, imitation marriage by providing the health benefits. Anderson fought back in comments in the Salt Lake Tribune. He said he didn't see anything Christian about discriminating based on sexual orientation and added that the ADF are smearing Christianity by using their faith in this way. He said the ADF should stop calling itself a Christian organization. And now, in honor of Matt and Luke, who we were speaking to earlier from Australia, here are some singers from Melbourne. This is Coco's Lunch and Sister My Sister on CITR.
Sister My Sister, hold me, carry me home and just let me be. Slow this breath and lay to rest. Ever and ever hold me.
Sister, my sister.
Sister, my sister, hold me.
Hold me.
Carry me home and just let me be.
Slow
this breath and
carry me home.
Coco's Lunch, Sister My Sister on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. This is Queer FM. I am Heather. If you want to give us a call, the number is 604-822-2487. You can also communicate with us online via the Q Messenger at www.gaycanada.com. So if you're a Gay Canada member, which is not hard because it's free, you can just look for Queer FM on the Q Messenger, and then we can, you know, internet chat. Coming up on the program, we are going to be talking to Douglas Victor Janoff, who is an activist who used to live right here in Vancouver. He's now based in Montreal. He's also a journalist and writer, and he has completed his long-awaited book called Pink Blood on the story of LGBT, anti-LGBT violence in Canada. And he's going to be launching in about a week or so. He'll tell us about that sometime just after 7. And in just a few seconds, we are going to be checking out the best queer independent musical releases from the month of September, courtesy of This Way Out and their audio file segment. But first, this word from the two young guys who do the show before Queer FM.
Sea salt. Malt vinegar. Newspaper wrapping, red sauce, tartar sauce, brown sauce.
Cool Britannia, Britannia's new or cool. Take a trip, Britain's ever, ever, ever shall be hip, hip, hip,
chips with everything. CITR 101.9 FM's Great British Music Show. It's hot, hot, hot.
You didn't say when it was, man.
Oh, yeah, right. alternating Sundays, 5 to 6 p.m. The very best of the very, very Britishest.
Yes, that is why you should listen to Quentin and Dave. If you like British music, that's great. But on top of all of that, they're just plain silly. This is Queer FM on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, and as promised, here is Greg Gordon from This Way Out with the audio file segment, the best queer music from September.
Politically progressive harmonies, energetic folk pop with a subtle sing-along, and provocative blues about everything from poverty to prostitution. That's the eclectic musical menu served up in this month's audio file.
Faith believes in a closet. It's quiet, safe, and dry. It's hard to meet a lover there. She doesn't often try. The keeping of her secret steals the courage from her heart. Sure, faith could move a mountain, but she's far too tired to start. Sure, faith could move a mountain, but she's far too tired to start.
She Who is a women's vocal group based in Philadelphia, and their first recording is called The Earth Will Turn Over. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Audiophile. The group's founder, Karen Eskovitz, says that the album's focus comes from a decidedly progressive point of view.
It really places women at the center. Many of the pieces are political. It's very rare to find an album these days with explicitly pro-choice material on it. And then we have a number of songs that are kind of more peace-oriented. But I'd say that those are the characteristic themes of the album.
When a woman loves a woman, when a woman loves a woman loves, when a woman loves a woman, when a woman loves a woman loves, when a woman loves a woman, do-do-do, it is the earth healing herself. When a woman loves a woman, do-do-do, it is the earth healing herself.
Find out more about the group She Who and their album The Earth Will Turn Over at www.shewho.org. That's www.shewho.org.
Thank you.
The third album by Julie Lloyd is called The Waiting Room, and in it she continues her blend of folk and energetic pop.
We got Julie to pick the most lyrically out song on the album.
I feel like the song on the album that's the most out is probably The Waiting Room, although I don't know if people would know it by listening to it. I like to think of it as sort of my lesbian anthem song. I don't know, it's kind of fun to play it in sort of totally straight audiences in like Nashville, Tennessee or whatever, and have them singing along to it because it's a very like We Are thing and they're all just singing along as if they know exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't think they know at all what I'm talking about, actually.
You can learn more about the album The Waiting Room by Julie Lloyd at www.julieloyd.com. That's www.julieloyd.com.
The seventh album by Candy Kane is called White Trash Girl. And once again, she proves her talent is as big as her voice.
She had the cutest Mona Lisa smile. I thought I had the time to try and make her mine. Something about her I just can't explain. Like a faded dream, don't even know her name.
And like her previous releases, the album has a variety of styles, including boogie, gospel, jump swing, ballads, and of course, the blues.
For me, the blues is a really comfortable place to be because I can be a large-sized woman, I can be sexually provocative, I can sing songs about poverty and about prostitution and about my life, even my bisexuality, and it all works and comes together in the blues.
I'm a white trash girl from the wrong side of town. I live alone in a trailer. Don't put me down. I'm as happy as can be, but I can't tell a lie. I'm a white trash girl. I need a low-down guy.
Find out more about the album White Trash Girl by Candy Kane at www.candykane.com. That's www.candykane.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas, 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trenton. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
And this is Queer FM on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
If I need it.
close your eyes.